Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to be with you today to once again proclaim the Word of God. We're going to be looking at what's coming next here today, because we're in for a euphoric ride, historically and spiritually. I believe the coming days are going to be spiritually demanding upon each of us, and our hearts must be fixed, like the psalmist David declared, "My heart is fixed." Because God has given us a reprieve or pushed the pause button and seemingly stopped the globalist, this is a worldwide movement, folks. This is not just happening in America, but it's happening worldwide, and people like Obama are satanically controlled and inspired to advocate and appropriate a globalization of every nation. But they're beginning to witness, like Angela Merkel of Germany, now she's going to outlaw the burqas because it creates hysteria. That's why I say so many times, we're not there yet, but we are getting there. But the new generation, the millennials, do not have much conviction, regretfully. And because of that lack of conviction, they're going to embrace practically anything that comes down the pike. I just read last week, I believe it was, where a division of the Department of Motor Vehicles in the state of Louisiana will no longer accept cash. You see, we've heard this phenomenon talked about for many years. I remember back in the late 70s or early 80s, I may be a little bit off there, someone wrote a book, The Day the Dollar Dies. Well, that's been 40 years ago. But it's coming. It's coming down the pike. I want to play a song today before we get into our subject. And I pray this song will minister to your heart and to your life. Because Jesus, He came looking for you, my friend, when you were lost and undone.
One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry.
Matter of time, but Jesus appeared, set this
Praise God. He came looking for us. Thank God he found us. Thank God we're now washed in his precious blood and sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Amen. What a joy it is to be washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. I just wanted to talk to you from my heart today. There's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of jargon that's being espoused. A lot of the doom and gloomers are going to be sitting on the sideline for a while, because God is certainly up to something. And the question is, where do we go from here? I was reading just the other day where Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Barbara Boxer all felt that the Democratic Party was on the right track. Once you are fully reprobate, you cannot see the way. Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Psalms 10:4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. People who have had their consciences seared with a hot iron are no longer sensitive to the things of God. They are unable to discern. They are literally unable to read the writing on the wall, and they continue to go down the path of chaos and destruction. Barbara Boxer said serving in politics was a noble job. Well, we all know it's a trashy job, and that's why they do it, because they're trash. They are unmitigated trash, period. Because they lie, they cheat, they rob, they steal, they make laws for you and I that are not applicable to themselves. That's a crook. That's a criminal. The other day they wanted to impeach the IRS commissioner, Koskin. And the Republicans sided with the Democrats and said, no, we're not going to do it. Just because God has given us a reprieve doesn't mean our nation is not ready for judgment. Now, we know that God can put the nation and world affairs on pause until he gets another situation, circumstance, in divine order concerning his plan, his will, and his purposes. You've heard me describe Joseph as God put him in the pit. We've all said, this is the pits. Lord, why have you got me in the pits? Well, God placed Joseph there for a parenthetical time till the caravan of Midianites got to where Joseph was. Thus, his brothers changed their mind, sold Joseph into slavery, and the caravan of merchantmen and Midianites took Joseph down to Egypt, where he was sold to Potiphar. That's where God willed Joseph to be. But to get everything synchronized, to get everything in its proper place, and that was not fully in its place until Joseph went to Pharaoh's courts, but it was an alignment, an aligning of God's will and plan. And what I see in my spirit is God is aligning some things right now, and this is very significant. Now, after Donald Trump was elected, or president-elect, the Sanhedrin, now listen to me, the Nesint Sanhedrin in Israel is calling on Russian President Vladimir Putin and U.S. President-elect Donald Trump to join forces and fulfill what they say are their biblically mandated roles by rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Now, I have my pundits who always want to tell me that 2 Thessalonians 2:4 is your body, your temple, Nos, N-A-O-S. But then that would destroy Revelation 11, 1 and 2. So let's see what 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that speaks of a temple wherein this man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will go into this temple and declare himself to be God and oppose all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. My detractors, oh no, there's not going to be no temple. That's a metaphor. You're the temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you? If any man defile the temple, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I know that. But you have to rightly divide the scriptures. Now, Jesus talked about the Antichrist, and he talked about the abomination of the Antichrist in Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. What starts the great tribulation? The Antichrist, when he goes into the temple and declares himself to be God, all hell breaks loose. Will there be a temple? Yes. Revelation 11, verses 1 and 2, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. There must be a literal temple for the angel to say, measure the temple. Measure the temple of God and the altar. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Anyone that's not a Jew is a Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're German, English, Australia, Japanese, Vietnamese, Taiwanese, it doesn't matter. Anyone that is not a Jew is considered a Gentile, non-Israelic. Now, Jesus said in Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now watch this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, the Olivet Discourse. He talks about the times of the Gentiles, and Jerusalem would be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Revelation 11 and 2, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That is the last 3.5 years. Now, this has to come to pass. You cannot fulfill Matthew 24, the abomination of desolation, unless you have a temple. This is where it takes great spiritual maturity and discernment to read the Word of God when something is symbolic and something is literal or something is spiritual. The Bible says in Revelation 19:11, when Jesus returns on the great white stallion, it says, out of his mouth goeth with it a sharp sword. Out of his mouth, see, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. Now, is there going to be a literal metal sword being wielded in the mouth of the Lord? No. How do we know that? Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we know that is symbolic, Revelation 19 and 15. The word of God is as a sharp sword, and with his word he shall smite the nations. Just speak the word only, the centurion said. Psalms 107:20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them out of all of their destruction. Christ will even destroy the Antichrist with the mere brightness of his coming. Yeah. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What is the spirit of his mouth? The word of God. So you have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth. And regretfully, we have such nonsense and Christendom today. All of these false prophets, all of these false dreamers. I mean, I've never seen so many falsehoods and self-appointed, self-anointed false prophets in all of my life. But it is biblical. This is what Jesus said would happen. Matthew 24:5. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're doing that. Matthew 24:11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. They're doing that. I've never seen such a time. And they are so biblically illiterate and so shallow. They don't teach anything when it comes to the Word of God. Their doctrine, their ideology is formulated through books, authors, books that people have written. Yes, I've written numerous books, but they're chocked full of the Word of God, full of Scripture. Why? Because that's what stands the test. The acid test is by the Word of God. And we're witnessing that. I want to go back to the temple. From the very beginning of this presidential election, many felt that Donald Trump could be a type of Cyrus. Because after Belshazzar, Daniel chapter 5, the handwriting on the wall, he was slain that night, the Medo-Persian Empire took over. And there were two kings, Darius and Cyrus, two empires, Medo-Persian. But Cyrus, in Isaiah 44:28, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. God charged Cyrus to lay the foundations of Jerusalem again. Isaiah 45:1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, or whose right hand I have strengthened. Now, it's obvious to the discerning Christian, God strengthened Donald Trump's hand. Everybody laughed at the man. Everybody scoffed the man. Everybody ridiculed the man. You can't win. Obama mocked him. TV anchors mocked him. 16 candidates. He overcame them. I love to say God took the jawbone of an ass, put it in the hand of Donald Trump, and slew 1,000 points of opposition. There's no way, folks, there's no way. If you don't believe in miracles, you just saw one of the greatest miracles ever witnessed in this dispensation of time. I mean, here is a man that everybody mocked and ridiculed and castigated, and he continued to do it his way, and he won. Now, how can that be? Because God said, whose right hand I have holden, or I have strengthened. We forget the omnipotence, all power of God Almighty. He says here in Isaiah 45:1, to subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of iron and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I want to jump on down to verse 4. For Jacob, or Israel, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. He called Cyrus by his name for Jacob's, or Israel's, sake. It was not about Cyrus. It's not about Trump. It's about what God is going to do with two entities right now, because they are separate entities. One is the church, the other is Israel. Anybody that tells you the church has replaced Israel does not understand their Bible. The church does not replace Israel. That's as erroneous, false teaching as you can find. God is going to take the Jews and the Gentiles and make one new man in himself. I won't get into that, but you can find it in Ephesians 2:15. See, these charlatans, these novices, they don't know the scripture, so they can't put it together. God is not done with Israel. God is not done with Israel. No. No. God has not cast his people off, Paul said. Romans 11:1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. No. See? When people don't understand the scriptures, they're in a conundrum. They're in a bad place. They are in a bad place. And God is going to keep his word, because his word was not made with Israel and Egypt. His covenant was made with Abraham before there was a nation called Israel. And that's where people, that's the missing link. They want to start with Moses. Can't do it. You can't do it. See, the covenant was given to Abraham with promises. We've been made joint heirs to the promises of God. That's what makes this so divine and so distinct. It's got God's promises capsulized within God's covenant. See? But the covenant was before the Mosaic law. And so that's why God is not done with Israel. Because he is bound by the covenant. Man is renowned for breaking covenant. God does not break covenant. God cannot break covenant. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Everything that God has said, you can rest assuredly, God is going to make it good. God is going to make every one of his promises true. They're all going to come to fruition. Whether you believe it or whether I believe it, doesn't matter. God is going to keep his word. He is bound by his word. It's Romans 11:26. Now, if God is done with Israel, Romans 11, verses 25 and 26 is a fraud and a lie. If God is done with Israel, and I know I'll get hate mail and hate emails, and that's all right. That doesn't bother me. I'm like the little poem or whatever, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is so immature. If you want to debate somebody spiritually and intellectually, you have to do it with the word of God. Romans 11:25-26, Paul said, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant. But that's what they are. They're ignorant. They're stupid. They're just plain out ignorant of this mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. I just shared that Luke 21:24, Revelation 11:1-2. The time of the Gentiles. Paul's reiterating it here in Romans 11:25. What does he say in verse 26, though? Romans 11:26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, that's Jesus only, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob or Israel, for this is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins. If he's done with them, how's he going to do that? If the church replaced Israel, how is Jehovah God going to fulfill these verses in Romans 11:25-26? This is where this mass confusion. This is where these people regretfully are mere novices. They are novices. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. This is not my theology. This is doctrine. This is biblical doctrine. This is not theology. I know theology is the study of God. We're talking about what God has already said, what God is going to do. God's not through with Israel. That's why you will see a temple built. And then in the end, God is going to establish Israel. That happened May the 14th, 1948. And they became a nation. And they that should be enough witness to them. But it's not, regretfully. But God is going to open up the fountain of grace on the house of David. That'll be a time like none other. That's Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So God is not done now. If Israel thought the Holocaust was heinous, they've not seen anything yet. That is what's so tragic. That is what's so horrific. Because it's going to be a literal bloodbath in the end. Sad. The enormity and the amount of people that will lose their lives and probably their souls. Probably their souls. But God, I believe, has pressed the pause button. And now everything is collectively coming together. Let me tell you something. Now, I can't tell you how God is going to do it. I don't know what all must take place, what must transpire, what must come to fruition. But there's going to be a temple built over there in Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ, where the wall, the gate, the eastern gate is blocked up right now. I've seen it with my own eyes. It's blocked up. He's going to come through that eastern gate. He's going to honor his word. And what will happen, according to Zechariah, Jerusalem becomes a cup of trembling. And it literally means in the Hebrew, a cup of poison unto all the people round about. Donald Trump, and you've heard me say this, every president since I can remember has tried to get an Israeli-Palestinian peace accord. I mean, all of them, Carter, Reagan, Bill Clinton, I admittedly believed that was the deal, the peace and security agreement that we all saw signed on the White House lawn September the 11th, 1993. I thought that's it. Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat, and Bill Clinton had his arms around both men confirming their covenant. That's why that picture's in my first book I ever wrote, The Second Look of Second Coming. Because the Bible said in Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many. The Antichrist does not make a covenant. That's another heresy, another lie. He confirms a covenant. He doesn't make one. He confirms one. If you look at that picture, Yitzhak Rabin, Yasser Arafat are shaking hands. They are making a covenant. It was called the Peace and Security Agreement. Peace and safety. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3. I thought that was it. But I said, we've got to wait 3.5 years. Because the first 3.5 years, that's why you hear all these pre-tribbers, well, we don't know what takes place. That's because it's already been fulfilled scripturally. Jesus got the first 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. And then when the Antichrist is revealed, he gets the last 3.5 years. That's why all your Bible scripture references in Revelation are 42 months, 1,260 days, or time, times, and half a time. There's no 7-year period. There's no verse in the Bible that says that. Not one. So, here again, we have this unbelievable confusion about things in the church. And of course, the greatest one is, well, the church won't be here. So the book of Revelation is just a book to think about periodically, study, you know, if you wanted to. The book of Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zechariah. Yeah, because see, most of that is yet to be fulfilled. But it doesn't have anything to do with us, though. We're not going to be here. Right. I hear that so much, and I heard a guy on Sid Roth the other day say, well, the church is going to be in heaven for 7 years at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Can you give me one Bible verse to show me that false teaching? Can you give me one Bible verse to show me the church in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb? No, you can't. Not one Bible verse whatsoever. Now, I've been accused of not believing in a rapture. I believe in a rapture because it's biblical. I know the passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. I know it. That's just the protocol. That just tells you how it's going to happen. The dead in Christ are raised first. We which are alive and remain. By the way, the word remain there means we which are alive and survive. Alive and survive? Yeah. What have we survived? That's a good question. What have we survived? Well, it's called the Great Tribulation. There'll be many that will come through the Great Tribulation. We don't know the enormity of it and how it will affect the whole earth. I believe the whole earth will be affected in some degree. The Antichrist, I heard someone say the other day, and of course he doesn't know his Bible either, but he thinks he does, that the Antichrist is going to rule everything. That's just not true. That's just not true. If the Antichrist rules over everything, how then is Daniel 11:44-45? How can those scriptures be fulfilled? Let me share those with you. Let's back up to Daniel 11:41. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Well, where's that? That's Jerusalem. And many countries shall be overthrown. That's true. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, where is that? Well, you get your Bible out, look at your maps, your old maps, and look at Edom, Moab, and Ammon. And you'll see, for the most part, that's Jordan and Saudi Arabia. I'm not getting into a geographical lecture today, but get your own map. Look at it, the old Bible maps, and look at those nations, those countries in the old Bible maps, and then compare them to today's maps, and you'll see it's mainly Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And then it says, he shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Now here's why we know he won't rule everything. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many, or terminate many souls. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Well, that's kind of a mouthful in itself. So we know east of where he resides and north, trouble. Trouble. Could be from Russia, could be from Syria. East could be from Iran. Look at your maps. Could be China. We know he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. That speaks directly of Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, the Antichrist, I know I'm going to really mess up some theology now, but I might as well go ahead and mess it up and let you fight with God and his scriptures, because I know my pundits will argue, but again, that's all right. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. And so we've all been taught every man's going to die or be changed in a moment and the twinkling of an eye. Well, that's why the Bible says here in Daniel, he comes to his end. What is the Antichrist end? Well, let's look at Revelation 19 and 20. Jesus comes back on the great white stallion. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and 9 said he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. And then it says in Revelation 19:20, and the beast was taken, that's the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. These two men, whoever they are, nobody, let me say this again, nobody knows who the Antichrist is. I get so worn out with people who try to identify the Christ. One guy told me the other day he was a prophet, and he's narrowed it down to six. Well, sir, you're not a prophet. If God revealed to you who the Antichrist was, he wouldn't say, now you pick from the six. God already knows who the man is. We don't. He does. I've had people say, well, the Antichrist is not a real person. It's a system. Then how, if it is a system, is these both were cast alive into a lake of fire? Revelation 20 and 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So a system would be annihilated, but it's not a system. It's a man with a soul and with a spirit. And he will be put into the lake of fire, where he'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever means without end, folks. Now, Daniel 7:11. And I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn, the Antichrist, spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. What does that mean? That, my friend, is Daniel 7 and 11, and that is the fulfillment of Revelation 19 and 20. And the Bible says the man has a body because his body is destroyed. Not a system, but a literal, physical human being. Judas Iscariot was not a system. He too is called the son of perdition, or the son of destruction, the son of damnation. Same thing that Paul calls the Antichrist, the son of perdition. You know, the amazing thing is, it is all there in the Scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There it is. He is called the son of perdition. Do we know Judas was called the son of perdition? Yes. John 17, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Even the psalmist in Psalms 41 and 9, mine own familiar friend whom I did eat with lifted up his heel against me. He was even prophesying the Last Supper as they ate bread. Remember, Jesus took the bread, broke it, dipped it into the sop, and he handed it to Judas Iscariot, better known as the son of perdition. And then Satan entered into him. Again, that was prophesied in Psalms 41, 9, yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You see, all of this is contiguous in the scriptures. It all is synchronous. Now, this don't happen overnight. You don't get all of this and can put the dots together collectively without a lot of study, without a lot of research, without a lot of time. I had a dear lady, Virginia Logan, sent me a nice note the other day, and I appreciate it. She said, I want to thank you for the times you have deprived your family, your personal self, and that you just keep studying the scriptures and sharing truth with us when it would be easy to say, you know, I'm just going to take time off. And I do take time off. We're getting ready to take some time off. But I love God's word. I love to have the knowledge of God's word. That's not an egotistical or arrogant thing. It's just I love his word. You know, like Job, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food in Job 23:12. God's word is my sustenance. God's word is my source. Because if you know the word of God, you know what God is doing. Everybody says, oh, I wish God would give me a word. I wish I knew. Get in the word of God and you will know. I've said for years, we're not there yet. We're getting there. All these people trashing me, bashing me, even saying the Lord will be here in 2017. It's not going to happen. I mean, I hate to disappoint you, and I'm not saying that to disappoint you. I'm saying that to tell you the truth. It's not time yet. Why do you think Galatians 4:4, Paul said, but when the fullness of time was come? Every time something happens, people want to inextricably tie it to Bible prophecy. Had you been alive in the 1940s, had you been in Pearl Harbor, or had been in Nagasaki or Hiroshima, you would have said, this is the end of the world. Not true. That was 75 years ago. All people thought Adolf Hitler was the Antichrist. He was a type. He was a shadow. He was a foreboding. But it wasn't time. And that's why I refuse to live under a spirit of anxiety, trepidation, fear. I'm not going to live like that. I'm not going to live that way in my life. God has given me peace. One of the greatest things God has ever given you in His shed blood was the chastisement of our peace was upon His shoulders. I've got peace. I know unequivocally some bad stuff is coming down. I mean, you'd have to be blind to not see it, to not witness it. People, oh, Obama, he's the Antichrist. People sent me that YouTube video. Did God give us a revelation that Barack Hussein Obama was the Antichrist? I don't know how many people sent me that YouTube video. I don't know who did it. But they took Luke 10:18, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because the word lightning there in the Greek is Barak. But like I told all those people, you're 20 years behind me. I studied that. When Ehud Barak was the prime minister of Israel in the mid-90s. I don't remember. I think Ehud Barak, I'm pretty confident Ehud Barak did follow Yitzhak Rabin after he was assassinated in 1995. Because I remember Bill Clinton, Yasser Arafat, and Ehud Barak trying to get a peace deal, a peace treaty. So, when I got all these emails telling me to watch this YouTube video, it was a waste of my time. I had already been down that path 20 years ago. And I knew in my heart what they were trying to convey. But God has given His people peace. Isaiah 26:3, whose mind is stayed upon thee, He will keep him in perfect peace, for he trusteth in thee. And if you keep your mind stayed upon the Lord and get off of the computer for 10 minutes and get in the prayer closet and get in the Word of God, you'll have a different perspective. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Where do we go from here, Pastor? Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Keep abounding in the work of God. Be faithful. Don't tire. Don't quit. Don't give in. God's on the move. And of course, the great timepiece is Israel. The great stopwatch, the great watch, the great clock is Israel. And I just think it's very ironic that the nascent Sanhedrin has asked, now listen, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin to put their forces together and fulfill their biblically mandated roles by rebuilding the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. You see, other things have to come to fruition. God, though, is aligning everything up. And this is nothing but a pause button. Just it's like a CD. It's ready to roll. Hit it, and the music picks back up again. Pause the button, and it stops. But it's ready. It's ready to roll when you hit the button. Just like right there. That CD outro music was queued up, ready to roll. All I done was hit the pause button. Hit the button, and it takes back off. I hit the button, and it started the intro music. After the intro music finished, I paused it. And I've been sitting here for 56 minutes and hit the pause button or play button again, and now the outro music. You know what? There's about to be an outro. We've seen the intro, but there's coming an outro. The Lord himself shall descend out of heaven. Oh, there's going to be an end. Oh, yes. There's going to be an end. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all of those of you who said, we will pray for the ministry every day. I thank you so much for that. You'll never know how much that means to my wife and I. Thank you so much. God bless you. I'll see you next week in the Lord. Keep your eyes upon Jesus Christ, for he alone is your Lord, your Savior, and your Redeemer.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.